Welcome to Blood, Sweat, and Cells, real talk about sickle cell disease. I'm your host, Valerie Bay, and today our topic is about strength and resilience, parenting a child with sickle cell disease. We have a very special guest joining us, my brother, and we are honored to have Dr. Clarence Pearson with us, a physician and family member who experienced profound challenges and heartbreaking loss of parenting a daughter with sickle cell disease. Thank you so much for being here, Dr. Pearson.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Valerie. It's good to be with you.
Yes. Well, your daughter, Clarissa, my niece, and founder of the Heart of Gold Sickle Cell Foundation of Northern Virginia, she bravely faced the struggles of sickle cell disease, but sadly passed away before her 41st birthday. Mm-hmm. Today, we want to explore your journey as a parent and the experiences you had in helping Clarissa through her illness. And, you know, hopefully you can share some wisdom with others facing the similar circumstances. Mm-hmm. So why don't we start off a little bit and you can tell us a little bit about Clarissa and how her diagnosis impacted the family.
The diagnosis really didn't impact the family mm-hmm. until later in life. Mm-hmm. And that was primarily because as a infant and preschooler, she really didn't have many episodes or reasons to be in the hospital. Mm-hmm. From our standpoint as parents, you know, other than being cautious and making sure, you know, she didn't get cold when she went outside or making sure she drank plenty of water. Other than that, she was just like a normal 3 or 4 year old. As she got older, I'll tell you, I don't think it was until after she went to college that she began having serious illnesses. Mm-hmm. And that's when it's important for the parents to bond together, mm-hmm. and make sure they're supportive mm-hmm. of children. And make sure the children with sickle cell are aware that the parents are both on the same page.
Yeah, yeah. Now, as a physician yourself, I mean, you know, when you finally realized about her diagnosis, did it shape your perspective of the illness and your role as a parent?
Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. Everything that she did, I worried that the sickle cell will affect it. Like when I read your questions, I was thinking something simple like her first plane flight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was worried that something would go wrong with oxygen and then she would have some kind of catastrophic event mm-hmm. on the plane. I think parents worry about their children naturally anyway.
Right.
And I think from the sickle cell standpoint, you just had more to worry about. And the other thing is that even in retrospect, I think that anytime your child with sickle cell had an accomplishment, it was magnified because they overcame so much. If they did something athletic, yeah, it was like they won the Olympics or had a gold medal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I think they were very receptive when you were excited about their achievements, and that encouraged them to do even more.
Now, you know, sickle cell crisis can be really tough on, you know, for parents and loved ones. How did you support Clarissa, and what were some of the most difficult moments?
Yeah, what would happen would be we sort of had a system, mm-hmm. and so her mom would visit her most in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I was away or sometimes I was working, but her mom would visit her most in the hospital. My role was to interact with Clarissa's providers in the hospital and to be, how can I put it? So sort of be her champion while she was in the hospital. Mm-hmm. If she couldn't get her point across. So what would happen would be after Clarissa having so many hospitalizations, she knew what worked for her and she knew how things should be done. Mm-hmm. And the problem is the way things are nowadays, there's no, the providers don't have any kind of history because they change so much. So you go in a hospital and you, the person that takes care of you is a hospitalist primarily, and right. they don't know you. They don't have any connection with you. And they, in my experience, they don't listen as well as they should, because if somebody's been in the hospital a number of times, they know what works. So basically, I would be Clarissa's advocate or champion if she ran into any roadblocks. Mm-hmm. Her mom would be on the scene so that the nurses and other support personnel knew that it wasn't just Clarissa, it was the family unit.
Yeah. So, you know, in talking with doctors, or when she had to go to the emergency room or any place, I mean, you know, can you recall like maybe some of the most difficult moments, like maybe where that you had to resolve, you know, because I know at one point she had to have a full blood transfusion. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, I can think of some difficult moments. You brought up a good point that I forgot to mention, is that the parents and the child with sickle cell should know that it's an uphill battle, because there's two problems. Number one, there's the opioid frenzy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That works against patients with sickle cell, although it shouldn't. I'll explain why in a minute. But there's an opioid frenzy, and then there's the problem with disparity in healthcare when it comes to minority patients. So minority patients, we know, already have poor outcomes, and we know that they don't receive the same medical care as the majority counterpart. And so that works against them too. So when Clarissa would arrive in the emergency room, there would always be a battle with giving her adequate medicine. And so I would intervene then. And in the hospital, like I said, unfortunately, there's no history or knowledge about what worked, although they could look it up, but I would have to support that too. I would tell the parents that they would have to be even more diligent if their child is in a teaching hospital, because nowadays the doctors in training, they don't have the same supervision as they did when I was in medical school or in training, such that you have to look out for your child, because they might recommend a test and it could be painful and it could be unnecessary. I can remember something specific. Clarissa had some fluid on the outside of her lung, and they wanted to find out whether it was infectious or not, or what the cause was. And they recommended they were going to put in a chest tube. Now, a chest tube is a very painful procedure. And it's usually limited for patients that have collapsed lungs or something. Whereas all they had to do was use a small needle and get a small sample. But luckily, Clarissa told me about it, and she had a champion in the hospital, one of the critical care doctors. So I talked to him, and he put a halt to it. But it never should have even gotten that far. Somebody who was supervising should have put a stop to it, but that was probably one of the most egregious things I can remember.
How did her tenacity and ambition impact your approach as a parent, in supporting her dreams while ensuring her safety and well-being?
Yeah, no, all you could do is just like you described, all you could do was be supportive. It's like she would be so enthusiastic about things, and she would delve into something, and all you could do was hang on for the ride, because she was going to get it done. And I think that's one of the main reasons, I think, for establishing the Heart of Gold would be because Clarissa thought knowledge was your weapon. Knowledge was your weapon, and having somebody advocate for you was also a weapon. So that's why she wanted to establish the Heart of Gold. She was enthusiastic, and all you could do was try to keep up with her and encourage her.
I know. Now, do you have any specific memories or experience that illustrates her resilience and determination in living her life to the fullest, despite the challenges of sickle cell disease?
Yeah, and I have to admit, maybe your next podcast, one of your podcasts, will be interviewing her mom, because she would have even more examples. I can think of things. I know this is one that I learned through her mom, and that is Clarissa wanted to be active in high school, and she wanted to be on a team sport. So she was the manager for basketball. It was shorter player, so Clarissa went in and made a couple of baskets. Mm-hmm. That's how determined she was.
Yeah. Well, she was always determined to do something. I tell you, full of life, you know. That's my niece and your daughter, you know. Now we mentioned at the beginning of the podcast that, you know, she was a founder of the Heart of Gold.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, how do you think that helped her or you know, in starting the organization, and how did it impact her life?
Yeah, I think it helped her knowing that she could help people overcome the obstacles in the hospital or in the clinic. Yeah, I think that gave her great satisfaction. Because I think she used her experiences to try to make life better for other patients with sickle cell. Like, for example, Clarissa learned that from the pain clinic people in the hospital, it's not everybody's different, so it's not unreasonable to have your own recipe for what works for pain medicine, down to what dose and how often. And just establishing that in some of the local hospitals, that had to help a whole lot of people. So I think she was very proud, and she'd still be very proud because of the work that you, Melanie, and Edna are doing. Because it helps the people avoid setbacks in the hospital, and it helps them recover easier when they are admitted for a sickle cell related problem.
That is so true, you know. Finally, what do you have to say to parents who are raising children with sickle cell? You know, based on your own journey and experiences, are there any lessons that you can share that you believe might be helpful to others?
Yeah, I think so. First of all, I have to tell your audience that I didn't say it earlier, but unfortunately, Clarissa's mom and I divorced when she was about 13. And so the first thing I would say would be, don't get divorced, because that was the biggest mistake. That was a mistake on my part. But we stuck together, and we always used to say, well, we might not be married, but we've got a sick child in common.
Right.
So that's going to keep us together. And we worked as a team. She did the yeoman's work, but we worked as a team, and we got things organized. So what I would say to parents would be, try to be supportive of each other, and that indirectly supports your child. I would also say the best thing that you and your child could do would be find a champion in the hospital. Find somebody that makes rounds in the hospital, because not all doctors do. Mm-hmm. You have a good sickle cell hematologist in the clinic, but they might not make rounds in the hospital. That's not going to help you. You need somebody who is in the hospital frequently and has hospital privileges, because they will look out for you.
Yeah. And
your child. Yeah. The other thing that I would recommend would be to encourage your child to do anything that they set out to do, because and celebrate it when they accomplish it, because that'll give them incentive to do more, and that'll put them on the right track for helping others too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thanks so much, Dr. Pearson, for sharing your incredible story. Your wisdom and your compassion and your courage and resilience truly shine through. And we hope that your experiences will inspire others and support them in their own journeys. Thanks for joining us today on Blood, Sweat, and Cells. Our topic was strength and resilience, parenting a child with sickle cell disease. Subscribe to our podcast to hear more inspiring stories and in-depth educational information about sickle cell disease. Until next time, stay strong and keep pushing forward. My name is Valerie Bay, and you can submit questions and topic suggestions to bscpodcast@icloud.com.
This podcast is sponsored by the Virginia Department of Health. The Heart of Gold Sickle Cell Foundation of Northern Virginia is a 501c3 organization committed to helping individuals affected by sickle cell disease live full and fulfilling lives. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope you'll join us again for upcoming episodes of Blood, Sweat, and Cells.